T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome in. It's Friday. We're going to be busy. Occasionally, this 4-hour marathon show we get to do with you every single day isn't enough time. Today's going to be one of those days. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. Wizards Raptors series continuing on into the weekend. Caps last night dropping game one to the Penguins despite a 2-0 lead. And the Redskins made a pick at number 13. Deron Payne, welcome to town. Danny, what's good?
Buddy, the draft last night was full of shenanigans, full of tomfoolery, dare I say ballyhoo. It felt very tradey. Was that the tradiest first round we've had in some time?
It wasn't, but you're right. Especially
did it feel that way?
One area in the teens, really from like 13 to 18, there was a lot of movement.
Guys are playing leapfrog. Couple just initial quick thoughts here. Quarterbacks, people, 5 went. I thought Mason Rudolph would make it 6. The Ravens traded back into the first round to get themselves Lamar Jackson. A fascinating time to be a Ravens fan. My brother-in-law is one. He had a lot of exclamation points, a lot of capital letters in various text messages back and forth with me. I don't want to say he was thrilled. I don't want to say he was underwhelmed. He was somewhere in between. He was very confused in a glass case of emotion. But you saw teams. This is what always happens. The prognosticators, the guys that do this for their gig, always have a pretty good, what they think is a data set of how everybody's ranked, what the consensus is. And then there are always guys that surprise, where they go, well, that's a reach. Is it? Do we know? Let's see how it plays out. But the Marcus Davenport, New Orleans, trades a whole bunch of picks to move up out of nowhere to get this guy that they apparently valued more than anybody else. Colton Miller, same thing, the tackle goes to the Oakland Raiders. The Redskins on the clock at 13. A couple things shook out where they had maybe a couple extra options that they could have taken. They went with the safe and steady thing. And I think Redskins fans, by and large, are fairly pleased.
Well, you should be. I don't know how this team, as big a need as they had on the defensive line, could draft a good defensive lineman to help them stop the run, which they did worse than anybody last year, and you're not happy about it. Now, could you be happier? Sure. There are picks I would have loved, whereas I like this one, and I understand that. But no one should dislike the pick, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
We can get more into the Redskins, the 13th pick in the draft, in a second. Real quickly, want to point out, though, that as we were all multitasking last night, the draft did serve for a real nice deodorant for me because it was a nice distraction, if you will. The Capitals were up 1-0 after 1 and 2-0 with about 18 minutes to play, and everything was going well. Alex Ovechkin had scored a goal and come through with a big assist. They actually scored 17 seconds into the game. Felt like, wow, this is what I've been waiting for years. This might be the time. This might be different. It's not even 20 seconds into this series. They're up 1-0 on the Penguins, and then they didn't give up a goal for 40-plus minutes. But as splendid as Braden Holtby was for 2 periods, he allowed 2 fairly soft goals in the third, one of which was just flat-out bad. And that's kind of the book in the playoffs, unfortunately.
Yep.
I want to come in today and talk about how amazing he was, now he kept him in the game, and that's true, or how unlucky the Caps were, and at times that's true, 2 deflection goals for the Penguins. But they benefited from 4 posts being hit by the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. Still, they lose 3-2, no Malkin, no Hagelin. They're down 1-0 in the series. You kind of know my philosophy on 7-game series, Danny. I don't worry a lot. I don't invest a whole lot of negative energy. I don't get down or depressed until a team's down 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
That could be 2-0. That could be 3-1. If they're down 2-0 going to Pittsburgh, I'll have no confidence this will be Columbus 2.0. The Penguins are a lot better. But I actually think they will get even and they'll go 1-1 to Pittsburgh. I'm not down just yet, while I am dejected and mad about last night, because it was typical. 2-0 lead, 3-2 loss, and it was basically 5 bad minutes of hockey. 55 minutes were exactly the way you want them to go. And I don't mean as a Caps fan. I mean if you're Barry Trotz and this team. It's
right.
Exactly what you designed for days leading up to the series. Those 5 minutes undid you.
I just don't know what else you pull out of your bag. You know what I mean? I don't know what else you can do. You just said it. I've read this story a million times.
Yep.
They outshot him, outplayed him, out this, out that, whatever it was, whether you want to call it a lapse, you want to call it a choke. I don't care what you call it. I just know that this is what's going to happen. This is what happens, and it's exasperating. It's so frustrating and maddening that this is how this game went, and the stupid Penguins fans are gathering on the steps chanting at Capitals fans once again. And they have every right to because they're correct, and it drives me insane.
They're defending two-time champions because of games like last night. Because it's 2-0, they're down, and they're never out of a game. Now, had the Caps have potted a third goal soon after Ovechkin's second, possibly, at that point, you can pretty comfortably know you're going to win the game. But they missed open nets in the first period up 1-0. They missed so many opportunities to tack on to their lead. And it came back to bite them in the butt. The one thing I guess I would say, when you talk about you're not sure kind of what else you can do, Braden Holtby can play 60 minutes like he played 40. I mean, that's honestly what it's going to take.
Sure.
I had Ole Kolzig on my TV thing last night on NBC Sports Washington pregame, Caps faceoff. And I looked up his numbers before I had him on. And I remember that he was really good in the cup run in 97-98.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers are staggering, Danny. The only time the Caps have ever been to the Stanley Cup, Olaf Kolzig had one of the best postseason runs of goaltenders in that decade, basically.
Yeah, he was magic.
He was better than Dominic Hasek in the Eastern Conference Final on the way. And if you just look back at that, that's why they got there. So that would be my answer is, you said it before game one, I think correctly, Braden Holtby has to be otherworldly. For a couple periods, he was. And they were leading 2-0. And then the third, he wasn't able to, and they couldn't hold on. More on the Caps and the Penguins a little bit later on, but let's get to the biggest story of the morning, and that is that the Washington Redskins have a brand new defensive lineman at number 13. Vita Vea is not available. He went a couple picks before everyone thought he was going to. A pick before the Redskins were on the clock. Minka Fitzpatrick is also off the board. However, two guys that you and I have been saying for a few weeks, it would be a dream if they fell into the Redskins' lap. Safety Derwin James from Florida State and linebacker Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech are both there. Washington's got to be debating between those two. Deron Payne, obviously the third of the three options at that point. What are they going to do? Here was the Redskins pick at number 13.
With the 13th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select Deron Payne, defensive tackle, Alabama.
Safe is a good word, I think, for this pick.
Yep.
Pretty high floor here. A terrible defensive team with an underachieving poor defensive line, for the second time in as many years drafted a starting defensive lineman who makes you a lot better and will help you against the run. You saw what Jonathan Allen did in his five games of health last season. They got a lot better in that area. Getting him back is going to be a big deal. Keeping him healthy is going to be significant this season. It's a major storyline. But Deron Payne gives you added depth now. You've got a core of third-year player Matt Ioannidis, second-year player Jonathan Allen, first-year player, Deron Payne, that is the best-built defensive front with youth that you've had in years and years. Would I have preferred Edmonds or James? Probably. I like both of them a little bit more in terms of star power and potential to be an all-pro type, but I like this pick.
I do, too, and I want to stress that. I like Deron Payne. In fact, I liked him as we were leading up to this draft. I liked him more than Vita Vea. I really did. I think there's more upside to this guy's game, a different player than Allen. You go back and look at Jonathan Allen's college numbers, you're talking 15, 16 tackles for loss, double-digit sacks. He was the designed penetrator and disruptor. Deron Payne is a brick house that I think eventually will be more disruptive than he's kind of shown to this point, but he right now is the double-team eating, immovable force, relentless worker that you're not going to run the football against on the interior. You look at what's happening in this division, Philadelphia's going to run their dumb RPOs, Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, you needed to respond in kind. I have no problem with that. Here's what I can't get past, though, Grant. It's this feeling, and we're going to address this kind of throughout the day. I heard Eric Bickle say this a million times this morning on the Junkies. They needed this. They needed this. They needed this. Of course they needed this. We acknowledge they needed this. I don't like being in the position where I need to do something in case what happened last night falls into my lap. I have two playmakers, two guys that could be stars in this league, in Edmonds and Derwin James. Two guys that could be difference makers for years to come. If I'd ponied up slightly more dough to sign Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, Jonathan Hankins. If I did what I'm supposed to do and improve my club, now when something like this happens, a guy falls to you that you don't expect to be there, you can have your Jonathan Allen moment. They could have had two of the five best defensive players in this draft and instead chose a guy that's good. That's probably number six or seven because they needed it. I hate being in a position of need and desperation. That's the Redskins' fault. That's what I can't escape here.
The one thing I would say is, number one, by picking him over Derwin James and over Tremaine Edmonds, it tells me that they love Daron Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Because taking him, if those guys are off the board, is an easy thing to do. When you've got two guys who you think could be standouts at positions of need also, and you go with the defensive lineman over him, I think it tells you that this is a player that at 13 overall, maybe they liked a little bit more than some other teams did. I have questions as to whether they could have moved down and gotten him. To me, that's a question that probably should be asked because for the most part, to me, you saw him going in that 15 to 17 range.
Mm-hmm.
However, if they feel like if we go down from 13 to 16, he's not going to be there, then you should take him at 13. There is no real harm in taking a guy three or four picks early.
Right, that's not a big deal.
At a position as big a need as the defensive line. I think your argument that if you just spent a little more money and fixed this problem in free agency, then James or Edmonds is more an option is correct. My concern if I have one on Daron Payne is, on third down, is he going to help you rush the quarterback a lot, or is he going to be standing next to defensive coordinator Greg Minuski on the sideline? For this pick to be a solid, good pick,
mm-hmm.
I think he's just got to go out there, help you stop the run, make a few plays a game. And that's a lock to me. That is going to happen. You can slam the door shut knowing that that's what you got out of him. For this to be a home run, for this to be a double off the top of the fence, Bryce Harper smokes down the right field line, what I need is an impact on passing downs, a collapsing of the pocket, and a pushing of the pocket. I want to see early season Matt Ioannidis pushing centers and guards into quarterback's lap. And the numbers, which we've alluded to a bunch on this show, one tackle for loss and one sack at Alabama in your third year in the SEC last year worry me a little bit. I spent a bunch of time last night with Trevor Maddich at NBC Sports Washington. He says when he watches the film, he sees Daron Payne eat up double teams and basically make plays for a lot of other guys. That Hand and those other defensive linemen like Allen over the last couple of years were the beneficiaries of what Daron Payne did. I'll defer to the expert on that, but just know, generally speaking, top 15 defensive linemen in college have more than two combined TFLs mm-hmm. and sacks. And so that passing down area is what I care the most about in terms of his development.
I care about two things. One, getting teams into bad down and distance. That's what he's going to help you with. So that's that box is checked. I'm with you.
Third and long.
The second layer is, can this guy be disruptive? I don't care if he ends up with zero sacks, only a couple tackles for loss, or doesn't really help in that. But I don't need him to have a bunch of counting stats. Holdy Nada never did. What I need is Preston Smith to thrive. I need Jonathan Allen to thrive. I need Kerrigan to thrive, Ryan Anderson. The other guys need to have good matchups and be able to run scot-free. You could see the correlation. Preston Smith, I think, had half his sacks in the five games that Jonathan Allen was healthy for. That ain't coincidence. That's a real thing. I need more of that.
Jay Gruden on why Daron Payne was the pick with a couple of other very enticing options available.
Well, we really like Daron. Coming out as a junior, he's only 20 years old. Big, strong, physical guy. You see what's going on in our division with Saquon Barkley and Zeke Elliott and Philadelphia, the way they run the ball. And our ranking on defense wasn't quite up to speed at 32nd, and we feel like Daron paired with Jonathan Allen and the rest of the guys, Stacey McGee and Matt and Terrell, Anthony, I think is a perfect fit.
I love the answer from Jay Gruden because mm-hmm. I like taking into account the rest of the division, particularly after the Barkley pick at number two by the Giants last night. Rushing yards, last season the Redskins ranked dead last. That was the number he referenced, 32. 29th in yards per play, which is the better metric. They were 27th rushing yards per play defensively 1 year earlier. Second time in two seasons, after not taking a down defensive lineman since Kennard Lang in 96, that the Redskins have addressed their D-line. What do you think about Daron Payne at 13? That's the question. 800-636-1067. You pass on James, you pass on Edmonds, you take a defensive tackle who's got a pretty high floor. How do you feel about it? Brent and Danny on the Fan.
Daron Payne, defensive tackle, Alabama.
Hurts under center. He rolls right. He'll throw wide open. Deron Payne, touchdown, Alabama. My goodness.
Built like a fire hydrant with incredible strength, Payne is best known for stopping the run, but apparently his NFL coaches have some offensive options as well. Payne boasts quality burst off the snap and the quickness to make plays along the line and down the field. And he's only 20 years old, so there's plenty of quality football in front of him.
Deron Payne, you may remember, interception for a touchdown and a touchdown catch in the national championship as a defensive lineman. Just a little bit of athleticism. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I think we're in agreement, Danny, in saying Redskins fans should feel good about this pick. It's hard not to like this pick. The question is, do you love it? For two reasons. One, maybe Payne's available a few picks later if you move down. That's a big risk. Second, who was still available that we weren't anticipating when the selection was made at 13? Jay Gruden was asked yesterday about that. What's going on in the room when you're on the clock with the names that were still there?
Yeah, there's quite a few guys that were worthy of that pick, quite frankly. But for what we were looking for and the fit, I think Deron is perfect for us, what we were looking for. Derwin James, a great player. Edmonds, a great player. Both Edmonds brothers are great players. But for what we were looking for, all the work we've done on Deron Payne, I think Coach Tom Sula felt very good. Kyle felt very good. Doug Williams felt very good. I think the room was unanimous in who we should take.
So he was at the top of the draft board for that pick?
Yeah. He was up there. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios we tried to play through, and guys were getting picked, and we're happy as heck to get Deron. He's one of our top guys.
It wasn't a ringing endorsement of him being at the top of the draft board on the follow-up to J.P. Finley's question. I think if Vita Vea was there, they would have taken him. The people that I've talked to that would know in the building make it sound like if it's Vea versus Payne, they'd have gone Vea. He wasn't there. He went a pick earlier. So now your question is, do you upgrade your biggest need that has been your Eleanor that you can't quite fix? Do you throw more money in another pick at that problem because it substantially improved when you were healthy last year with the first pick you made in John Allen? Or do you get a little bit cute? You don't need a safety as badly, but maybe James is special. You don't need a linebacker as badly. Edmonds is certainly a guy who could end up being a higher upside player, perhaps, than Payne. They went with the bigger need. And this is why I always say best player available at a huge position of need in the first round. They basically just prioritize our D-line's worse than our linebacking core and our safety position. Let's go Deron Payne. The million-dollar question, Danny, is what kind of pass rusher is he going to turn into?
He can. He can get back there. You know, I think he's got great power, and a lot of times the sacks that don't show up on the stat board, he enables other guys to get them because of the push of the pocket. It forces a quarterback outside. I think Ryan Kerrigan, Preston Smith, I think, and Ryan Anderson will be very happy to have Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne in the middle pushing that pocket. It enables the edge rushers to get home a little bit. So he's been very productive for Alabama, I promise you that, not just in the running game but in the passing game. And stats don't always tell a story about pass rushers. And I think being a 20-year-old kid, as strong as he is, as big as he is already, he's got room to grow. Having Coach Tom Sula work with him, I think it's going to be a great match. It'll be fun to watch.
You can tell, by the way, they've got great trust in Jim Tom Sula to take these groceries and provide a meal.
That oozes out of everything that they're talking about here over these last couple years, for sure.
I think it has a lot to do with the last two picks that they've made in the first round. I said this in the first segment. I want to see if you agree. The way that my like for this pick turns into love is if Deron Payne ends up being able to rush the quarterback. And I'm not talking about having 6.5 sacks. That'd be great. I am just simply talking about creating rush. If that does not happen and he ends up being a two-down, run-stuffing presence, do you think this could still be viewed as a great pick?
Not great. It could be successful. Okay. There are different metrics here. It's a sliding scale. The A-plus is you don't know when you draft in the teens, you're getting J.J. Watt. You think, oh, we'll have a guy that'll help us. Well, he turns into the best defensive player in the world. I mean, there's your home run. But for me, I'm actually with Jay Gruden on this. I think we need to change our sight line and look with some of these metrics. If you go, he didn't have 7 sacks as a rookie, he was failure. Well, maybe not. Who is anyone else on the defensive line having career highs? Or any outside linebackers getting consistent pressure? Are we batting more passes down? Are they, are quarterbacks a little bit shakier in the pocket? Because you remember, even though this Redskins pass rush was actually above league average in terms of pressure percentage, in terms of sacks last year, you know they would go quarters at a time, talking about opposing quarterbacks, where they were just so luxurious, so comfortable, so relaxed. What a nice atmosphere to be able to throw in. And then the couple games where Anthony Lanier, for whatever reason, was a man possessed, driving offensive linemen back into the faces of quarterbacks, you saw some disruption. That Seattle game comes to mind where Will Compton had a pick where Russell Wilson couldn't see because a couple linemen were in his kitchen. You need a lot of that in this modern NFL, given how quick passing games are.
Who would you have taken tasked with making the decision the Redskins did at 13?
Derwin James.
I would have taken Tremaine Edmonds, I think. James, I think, ends up being the best of the three players. I'm high on Nicholson, and I know he's injury-riddled, but I needed someone who's going to be on the field every down and doesn't take away from other talent necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I think the drop-off between Edmonds to, say, Mason Foster, who I think you could play him over on the inside a bunch, kick him outside a ton on passing downs, is bigger than the drop-off between James as a rookie and a guy like Nicholson. But you got a starter who is better than anyone else on your roster, by far.
Yeah, at that
other
spot.
Other than Jonathan Allen.
And he's playing nose.
Both of them can start. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think he's going to play outside too. I think you kick him outside as a five tech from time to time, but you're right. On down one of the season, Ioannidis, Allen, and Payne are going to be on the field for the Redskins. Three guys in either their rookie, second, or third seasons together who all have a lot of hope of being really good players. How great can they be? I don't see all pro appearances for any of them. You don't have Aaron Donald. Very few teams do. I have no delusions of grandeur here. But could Allen become a pro bowler? I could see that. Daron Payne, I probably don't see that kind of profile for, but I think he could be close. Jay in D.C., what's up?
Jay.
Hey, what's up? First, I just want to say, Grant said, you know, if you're a real fan, watch the game. I'm not a big hockey fan. I'm a big draft guy. But I still found time to watch that game that blew my life. So there nobody should have took offense to that. Also, I hate the Buccaneers. Like, I really wanted Vea. Like, I like Vea as much as you guys like Roquan Smith. So, like, pretend Roquan Smith was right there and the Buccaneers took him and they don't even need him. It truly pissed me off. But after I saw the Jaguars take Tavon Bryant, I was like, all right, it's something I don't understand because they got, like, 30,000 defensive linemen. So
that was one of my favorite picks,
Jay,
to be honest with you. Thanks for the call, buddy, as always. And I also like the Vita Vea pick. Because of the philosophy that I have on pass rushers and D linemen. Danny, I want you to finish my sentence. If you have four.
You need five.
If you have five.
You need six.
Give me another one.
Build me an army.
And that's why I'm cool with the Redskins' pick of Daron Payne. Yeah, the Bucs have Gerald McCoy. I understand that they don't have a major need up front. I get that the Jaguars have the best defensive line in football. But guess what? They got two guys who make a ton of money next year. Marcell Dareus' 2019 numbers massive. They have Calais Campbell under huge contract. Malik Jackson, who they signed in free agency from Denver, is one of the highest paid players in his position a year from now. One of those guys probably now can be cut if Taven Bryan is as good as you hope that he is. 800-636-1067. We're gauging your reactions to the Redskins taking Daron Payne. If you want to react to the fact that Vita Vea went one pick before Washington. Matter of fact, Minkah Fitzpatrick, number 11. Vita Vea, number 12, according to a lot of the reports, were the two guys they were zeroing in on, really, the entire process. They both went in the two selections prior to when Washington got on the board. How do you feel about the Redskins' first-round pick of Daron Payne? We're Grant and Danny.
Yeah, we'll start him at nose, see how he goes. But like I said, you know, when teams move their tight ends and...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Noses shift to three techniques shift to nose. I mean, I think he's very versatile. And at Alabama, he's played directly over the nose to center, and he's played the shade. He's played the three. He's played a little bit of everything.
6'3", 311 pounds. Daron Payne is the Redskins' new starting nose tackle. I wouldn't call him a true or traditional nose. I don't know how many of those there are anymore in 34 fronts. Welcome back in, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. Washington coming off a year where it was 32nd against the run and 29th in rushing yards per play, goes and gets itself a defensive lineman for the second time in as many seasons. We should let Nats fans know in the 12 o'clock hour today, sounds like Sean Doolittle might stop by and join us in studio.
Swing by and check out his pals.
Which will be pretty cool because the Nats are back in town to take on the Diamondbacks this weekend, coming off of their most impressive win of the season as they try to get going now, with the Mets having cooled off considerably. The division back up for grabs. Let's go to Ephraim in D.C. wants to talk about pick 13. Yeah, Derwin James and Tremaine Edmonds looking you in the face. The Redskins didn't necessarily go best player available. They went best player available in a major position of need. How'd you feel?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I really enjoy you guys' show.
Thanks, man.
I'm the caller that can never get his call through, but you can always say that that's a smart caller. He's always missing. But I just had a quick question. Say if the the Redskins took care of business and got our free agents in properly, and say if Sue Cravens had like an outstanding year, who would you have taken, being as though the chips fell the way they fell? I'm interested in that.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the call. So in other words, if Sue Cravens was still here and was part of the program, and the Redskins had signed Hankins or Wilkerson or Richardson or somebody, who would I have taken? I guess is the question. Tremaine Edmonds is who I would have taken. I think that's the new...
Yeah, I'd like to continue with the hypotheticals, and what if they would have drafted better players the couple years before that and those guys were here and
yeah,
good.
We can go through some of their second rounders. Well. But to me, the free agent question is pertinent. That's the one that's going to stick in my craw. That they wanted a lot of backpats for re-signing a couple guys that were already in the building that they won negotiations on, so to speak. They didn't have to overpay for Zach Brown or for somebody else, and that's great. That's good. Good business. If you recognize this was that big of a need, how could you not have been more desperate to bring in one of these guys? Especially when you think of, what was it, Wilkerson signed for 1-4 with Green Bay. You couldn't have gone 1-4.2, 1-4.3. You couldn't have done something else?
Free agency started over a month and a half ago. Until yesterday, you hadn't added one high-profile free agent on the defensive side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
Now you had, as you said, retained Zach Brown, and you re-upped with Quentin Dunbar, and you did a couple of good things to keep your own.
Orlando Scandrick. I mean, there's your headline.
Orlando Scandrick is a pedestrian slot corner. Pernell McPhee, who's the best defensive player you had added prior to Daron Payne, who now unequivocally takes that mantle and title as of last night, is an injury-riddled outside linebacker who might give you 4.5 to 6 sacks this year, which would be a pretty big deal as a third guy if he did. You basically found a less explosive, fast Junior Gallette with probably a little bit less potential for a boom season.
You got McPhee in case Ryan Anderson didn't work out. That's basically the insurance policy
right
there.
So you needed to go defense, and you probably had to go defensive line. You pigeonholed yourself
I just
a little bit.
Having to.
Mm. Brendan Radford, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I liked the pick at 13. Like you said, Danny, I think they really circled in on Fitzpatrick and Vea, and once Tampa Bay took Vea, they just kind of took Payne. I think they could have traded back a few slots and still gotten Payne, but my biggest issue is tonight we need a running back with that second pick. We desperately need an upgrade at that position.
So let me answer that in a second and comment on that, but I want to ask you a question first, buddy, and that is, you mentioned trading back, and this is the thought I had, this is the thought Danny had. We all kind of said, I'm cool with Payne. Do it in 15 to 17. I'll feel great. Because then you're probably adding at least the third rounder you lack. But devil's advocate.
Exactly. I completely agree.
Let's say Bruce picked up the phone and he made his calls and they couldn't move back, or they would have had to move far enough back, let's say, to 18 or 19, where they didn't think Daron Payne was there anymore. At that point, no Vita Vea, no Tremaine Edmonds, no Daron Payne, no Derwin James. You're missing out. You're missing the boat on almost all of the defensive players we liked a lot. Is it worth that risk, is my question.
In that scenario, if they couldn't get – because I think if we didn't take Payne, he was going to fall to Los Angeles, the Chargers. I thought they would take him. But if we could have gotten, like, 17, 16, 15, just go back a few picks, I thought that would have been ideal.
But someone's got to want to do that.
I do like the pick.
Let's say you couldn't make that trade. I guess my point is it worth the risk of losing him if you had to move back five or six
picks? If you've got to go too far back that you now miss out on any of the group. We talked about this yesterday.
To me, the whole point of this draft, and I said it a million times leading up to it, get a defensive impact player. And they did that, albeit the bottom of that list of guys that could probably be really, really good rookies. The last guy on that list is Daron Payne. I might have wanted him to swing for the fences a little bit more.
Of the list of what's acceptable, sort of what we're talking about here, there's a threshold. There are guys like Taven Bryan who've got upside, but we'll see. There's Leighton Van Der Esch that the Cowboys took at 19. It's a different tier according to scouts. Now, of course, this is inexact, but we're doing the best we can here. There are two ways that it's appropriate to move back. One is the non-risky way. So in other words, if you go, there are five guys we like the same, and we can move back four picks, it means you're getting one of the five. The math works out in your favor because you don't care. The other is the one, like you're talking about with the caller. You have to be really confident that nobody's going to take your guy. If you go back four, five, six spots thinking and hoping that he's going to be there, and he's not, you end up wasting your time. And that's kind of the scenario we're talking about. I don't know that they could have gone back to 16, 17, or 18. Because I don't know if you can predict that Edmonds and James are gone. Now you're in that next tier down of figuring out if Rashawn Evans can do it.
To me, that would have been a mess. If you move down far enough that you miss the boat on all of these good defensive players
in the first
half of the first round, I would have disliked this first round. Whereas I am whelmed and I like it just fine. I actually would endorse picking Payne at 13. Only because it means that you got one of these guys that we said going in, yeah, you have to land somebody here. Here's a list, 1 through 7. Payne was, let's say, number 7 on the list, but at least you checked that
box.
You
got that.
And we've talked a lot about free agency versus the draft as it pertains to fixing your D-line. Jay Gruden was asked about that last night.
You know, we looked at free agency. We talked about a lot of the defensive linemen that were out there, and they chose to go to the teams, or we couldn't get a deal done or what have you, but at the end of the day, we did feel good about the team that we had already with Philip Taylor coming back also, and we got a good group of guys in-house. But to add somebody of Daron's ability is hard to pass up. You know, the strength of good football teams are the offensive line and defensive line, and I feel like we got a lot stronger adding Daron.
Translation, we liked some defensive linemen in free agency. We didn't quite offer enough money to get them.
Yeah.
We had to go get the draft pick.
We were frugal.
We can control his contract over the next few years. The Giants may have gotten the best player available last night. The Cowboys helped their pass rush, and the Eagles didn't make a pick. We'll spin you around how the Knights went for the rest of the NFC East rivals next on Grant and Danny. Will Brinson of CBS Sports joins us to break down round one, and five quarterbacks coming off the board. We'll look at their landing spots with Will at 11 here on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Will Brinson's going to join us at 11, about 13 minutes out. Got to talk to him about the craziness that was five quarterbacks in round one. And I saw this stat this morning. I guess it's true. Doesn't seem true, but I think it is. First time ever four quarterbacks went in the top 10 last night.
I can't believe that's the case. I feel like it's had to have happened before, but I guess not.
99 draft. Dar and I were just looking this up. The year where you had McNabb and Achilles Smith and Tim Couch and Dante Culpepper. Culpepper was the fourth quarterback taken at number 11.
Oh, yeah.
So the couple that we looked up quickly, it checks out.
So, like, you think of the famous 83 draft where guys were going in the teens and the 20s, thinking of Marino.
There were only a couple in the top 10 that year.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe that's never happened, but it just goes to show you how it's increasing, if anything else, how starved teams are for quarterback play. They're willing to ignore grades over years and go, this is the best one today, we've got to do it.
And yet the Giants ignored the quarterback position at number two because they fell in love with a running back. Their general manager, Dave Gettleman, pulling the trigger on the pick that you and I feared that they would make and kind of for a week or so were anticipating that they would make. And that was going with Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State. Gettleman feels like they've gotten a guy in Saquon Barkley who's going to absolutely change the game for them.
We felt Saquon was the best player in the draft. You know, he's, you know, in baseball they call it a five-tool player. I don't know if I'm going to be able to come up with five tools. But I haven't seen a guy like this in a long time, and I've been running around for doing this for 30-plus years.
I like how he talks. Not necessarily how he sounds, which is always funny and he's out of breath. But
you know,
this is the second time we've played cuts from him now where I've said I like that turn of a phrase. I've been running around doing this for 30 years. And
doing
last
this
time,
for 30 plus years.
My mom could have scouted that guy. I don't know what it is about him. I kind of enjoy listening to him.
So there are two things that come to mind. First is the like the old mobster at the end of it.
Right.
You go one more time for, I've been a cuts here for many years. Let me tell you what I saw.
Doing this for 30 plus years.
Doing this a long time. When he comes to you with a meeting, you're going to take the meeting, but make sure you got something set up on the outside. Like he's that guy. He's the old wise mobster with one last ride in him who's willing to sacrifice himself for the greater good. Or he's the haggard detective on the detective show that you go to because he's got so much experience. I saw a case like this, 1974. Mercury Grand Marquis drove into the river. Couldn't figure out who did it.
Doing this for 30 plus years.
We couldn't figure it out, and it stuck with me for all this time. You know, that kind of guy.
I could see him played by either Gene Hackman, or if I could go in a different direction here, Gary Busey in a movie.
Can Gary get there these days? Gary get to that spot?
Well, that's a whole nother question.
Gary, deliver your lines. And he's like, Oxycontin, banjos, and chairs.
Can you still bring your A fastball, my friend? Here was Dave Gettleman in talking about the fact that they knew it was Barkley. It doesn't sound like there was a lot of debate in the room at any point.
Was this an easy pick for you, Dave, at the end of the day?
At the end of the day, do I have to tell the truth?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, obviously the evaluation was long and arduous, but it seemed like you liked him a month ago, and you didn't.
It did. Nothing changed, Paul. You know, you can overthink it. Am I doing the right thing? It's a running back. All these people talk about this and this and this. You can make yourself Meshuggah. You know that.
I'm telling you, I love this guy. He's hilarious.
I suppose you can make yourself Meshuggah.
This and this and this. You can make yourself Meshuggah.
You can. Or you could just take Saquon Barkley, you know, which is what they did. Quarter of the Redskins season, 4 of their 16 games every year are going to be spent defending Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I believe he could be Le'Veon Bell light. I think he's going to catch a million passes. He's going to get a lot of carries out of the backfield. If there's a question for the fit here with the Giants, how quickly can they turn their operation into one where they can actually run the ball? Just upgrading your O-line isn't going to do it by itself, which they've tried to do. They spent money at guard. They brought in Nate Solder at tackle. Look, the Redskins have an all-pro type left tackle, a Pro Bowl right guard, a really good right tackle. They can't run the ball.
They can't run the ball at all.
Do your tight ends block well? Do you commit to it? I mean, Dave Gettleman is a guy who's going to bring that McLuhan-esque kind of culture where that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's their idea.
It might take a year. This is not going to be Elliott's first season where he rushes for 1,800 when he's got the best offensive line in the league in front of him. But they're going to move him all over. He's going to be in the slot.
That's
he's going to be outside. What a pick.
Yeah, to me, that's the key. I think this league is, there are a couple outliers, like when Dallas does this or the first half of the season Kansas City does. They run the ball so effectively it sets up everything else they do before Kansas City had their swoon. But you become kind of that one-trick pony, and you can beat a lot of people that way. But when it gets down to it, you got to get a 3rd and 7. You've got to be able to do that without play fakes, without irony. When they know you're passing, you know you're passing. Can you execute that? I still think that's what this league comes down to. But here's the difference between Elliott and maybe some other guys. This to me is a rich man's Christian McCaffrey. This to me is the guy that you say, all right, catch the screen pass, take it to the house. We'll put you in the slot this time. You don't know where he's going to be. David Johnson is my comp with him because I think he runs with more power and maybe less patience than Le'Veon Bell does.
I love the McCaffrey comp because I think if he never caught a pass, there's immense value in the ball carrier.
There is some value there. And what I'm saying is if he all he is a good ball carrier, taking him second is irresponsible. especially if it sounds like he's fielding calls.
Yeah, but you just drafted a receiver and a running
back. And that's my point, is you can do a lot of different things with him. That, to me, is where the value would certainly come in, is a defensive coordinator going, I don't know where he's going to be.
The Cowboys were on the clock at 13. They took a player who was flying up boards late, Boise State linebacker Leighton Vander Esch. He's got some pass rushing ability, but he's primarily going to be utilized, it sounds like, as an inside linebacker in Dallas.
Leighton Vander Esch, outside linebacker, Boise State.
Helinski being chased. Helinski's going to get sacked back at the 50-yard line. No, he threw it up for grabs, but they'll say he was down. Leighton Vander Esch got to him.
Finally healthy in 2017, Vander Esch posted 4 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, and 141 tackles overall, the most by a Bronco since 1988. Vander Esch was then named the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year. Well-built, with good instincts, Vander Esch diagnoses plays and then is a sure tackler. All of this from a former walk-on.
A walk-on who has just 1 year starting experience and struggles sometimes taking on blocks in the middle of the field, gets washed out of some running plays, hasn't really learned to use his hands effectively is the biggest knock you see on every scouting report online. Mm-hmm. That can be important coming downhill if you're going to play inside, which is what the Cowboys are saying is the plan here. Some teams thought 6'4 and about 260. Stand him up, let him play OLB pass rusher. I think he's going to end up playing on the outside a lot because there aren't that many traditional inside linebackers who stand 6'4". It just doesn't work.
Well, look at who they also have. Remember, they invested in Jalen Smith, and that's the guy they're going to think
right.
is recovering.
He and Smith basically are their bookend rushers coming off the edge.
And Sean Lee, of course, also in the middle. Chris Collinsworth, boy, shout out. But they've got an athletic, impressive linebacking core. Now, health is going to be the issue. Smith, you know, coming off the major knee. Sean Lee's hurt every 15 minutes. Vander Esch had a neck thing that scared some teams off.
Neck.
It was, I forget the name of the right word, a cervical neck issue. He had some kind of thing. And apparently some people were scared of it, other people weren't. So it sounds like, you know, he's going to be A-okay. But I'm not a doctor, obviously. I don't really know. I hear the word cervical, I think of something completely different.
But you did perform that 3-hour touching, poking, prodding test of him, and you liked what you saw.
I liked what I saw. The medicals, to me, were not an issue. Right. So I don't know. But that was one of the things that was out there about him. To me, this is Dallas understanding that they can't do a transformation on offense. They kind of got to be what they are. They're going to try to beef up that defense. They wanted to get more athletic. I think they did.
No picks for the Eagles last night. They were on the clock at 32 as the defending champs. They moved out of the first round so that the Baltimore Ravens could come up to draft Lamar Jackson. We'll discuss that in the 11 o'clock hour when we get into the five quarterbacks who went in round one and where they landed. Next, Will Brinson, CBS Sports' Eye on NFL blog. Best pick of the round, worst pick of the round, and who should teams be scared of after last night? You listen to the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.